Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle is producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings. And I hope you weren't expecting a well-played professional football game last night.
I wasn't.
Because it was Thursday night football, and that's not what we get on Thursday night football. Thursday night football, we get two things, at least one of two things: terrible football, frightening concussions. That's it. Past 3 weeks, that's all we've had: frightening concussions, terrible football. But congratulations to the Commanders. They got a much-needed victory. We'll talk about that disaster that was on Amazon Prime last night. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Dan Walken's going to join me. National columnist, USA Today. He was at ACC Basketball Media Day earlier this week. Wrote a column about the idea we're moving toward in the sport, an expansion of the NCAA tournament. This is one of those things that conference commissioners seem interested in because of money. But is it good for the sport? Is it good for fans? Is it good for people who consume March Madness? Dan Walken's got thoughts on it. I'll talk to him about it in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point we're going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Ja Morant had some highlights last night in the Grizzlies' final preseason game. Get into it around 4:44. Three Major League Baseball playoff games today. Yankees and Guardians are in extra innings right now. The Guardians have scored two in the top of the 10th. Might be close to tying that series 1-1 with the Yanks. Braves-Phillies just started. Dodgers-Padres tonight in primetime. Talk baseball a little later on this hour. LIV Golf is underway in Saudi Arabia, where Phil Mickelson once again clarified his previous day's remarks about whether he actually interviewed with Alan Shipnick or not. A little confusing what he said yesterday. I'll tell you what he said when asked about it again. Brooks Koepka, by the way, got a two-shot lead. It's the first LIV golf event in Saudi Arabia. I'll run you through everything going on there just before 5 o'clock. And climate protesters entered a gallery in London and threw tomato soup on Van Gogh's sunflowers, because that makes sense. This is a painting, Bennett, valued at $84 million. Can you imagine painting something worth $84 million?
No. I don't think people do that anymore.
Could you paint something today and make it worth $84 million?
I don't think so. I'm not the expert on this, but I don't think so.
What about that Bansky fella?
I don't know who that is.
You don't know is it Bansky?
I don't know.
You don't know Bansky? He's a street artist. A mysterious street artist.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm familiar.
You're not cultured.
I'm really not.
You're not up to date on
your... I am cultured.
You don't know your street art.
Just don't know my art.
Let one guy go to Peru one time. He thinks he doesn't have to know about Bansky.
Sorry to all the artists.
These two women tried to ruin Sunflower. They've been arrested and charged with crimes. Good. There's got to be a better way to get your point across. Like, I'm with you. I'm with you. I feel like we're destroying our climate. I want to be on your side. You can't throw tomato soup on a Van Gogh. That's outrageous behavior. We'll get into it during Four Notable Stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins. Then I'll eventually do Dinner to Go and get on out of here, but not until I do a Dateline preview.
Oh, good.
We got a brand new 2-hour special tonight. I have previewed it, and then I will spoil it, and then we'll call it a week. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with Thursday night football because it provided another stinker last night. The final score was Commanders 12, Bears 7. It was 0-0 after one quarter, 3-0 at the half, 7-3 after three quarters, and then Washington scored 9 unanswered in the fourth to win 12-7. Thanks largely to Chicago's Velus Jones muffing a punt that Washington recovered to set up a first and goal from the 6. Two plays later, the Commanders had a touchdown that proved to be enough because the Bears can't score.
Yep.
Even when they get inside the 10-yard line. The Bears last night had first and goal on their second possession, couldn't score. The Bears had first and goal on their third possession, couldn't score. Had first and goal on their final possession, could not score. These dudes were inside Washington's 5-yard line 3 times and got 0 points on those possessions. Big Ben Bennett, how's that even possible? You watch a lot of football. How's that even possible?
I really don't know. I think, unfortunately for him, I think last night, showed a lot about Justin Fields. Like, he missed some wide open guys or didn't even look at some wide open guys when they got in the red zone last night. And they're on a new coach, like, with him. So, I don't know. I don't know if he's like a starting level NFL quarterback. We'll see. I mean, he'll probably get, I would at least expect another year. But I think last night kind of showed a lot about him.
Pause.
Yep.
Let me clarify. Getting lit up on Twitter. It's Banksy, not Bansky.
Oh, well, that's why I didn't know what it was.
I apologize for putting my S
Banksy
and my K in the wrong order. Maybe I'm not as cultured as I think.
Shout out to all the artists listening.
Yeah. Didn't know we had the art community listening.
Love it.
I like Banksy.
Justin Fields is not an artist.
He's
not. At least not on the football field.
He is. He's a mess. One of the talking points after the game last night, I don't know if you watched the postgame show, but one of the talking points was that the Bears don't use Justin Fields correctly. Ryan Fitzpatrick more or less said they act like he's Peyton Manning when they should be acting like he's Cam Newton.
Now that I agree with. I mean, the couple times that he actually got a chance to run with the football last night, it worked, it appeared. So, yeah, I think you should probably use that a little bit more if you're the Bears, yeah.
At this point in his career, he is a below-average passer, but an elite runner.
He's a good runner,
yes. He can run?
Yes, he can.
So Ryan Fitzpatrick asked, why not let him run more? Last night, Justin Fields was 14 of 27 in the air, 190 yards, one pick, one touchdown. Touchdown was beautiful. Not enough of them, but the touchdown was beautiful.
Nice.
He carried the ball 12 times last night for 88 yards. That's 7.3 yards per carry. A lot of it came on that big run. I think it was 39 yards. Last season, Justin Fields averaged 5.8 yards per carry. This season, he's averaging 5.2 yards per carry. But he only carried it 6 times per game last season, and he's only carrying it 9 times per game this season. Let me ask you, should Justin Fields run more by design instead of the reason he mostly runs, which is out of necessity because he's about to get killed?
Yeah, 100%.
I think I lean toward he should run more. The problem, of course, with running more is that you get hit more. And he's already getting hit a lot.
Yeah, he stayed down on the ground quite a bit last night.
Well, after the game, they were like, how you feeling? He said, I'm hurting pretty good.
The shot that's like making the rounds today is him sitting on the bench with his eyes closed, like just looking fed up.
Dude, it must be like, I'm going to go out there again and they're going to hit me and we're going to accomplish nothing. And a lot of this wasn't hard to see coming. Like, I can't say for sure whether Justin Fields is going to prove worthy of his draft slot and or be a franchise quarterback. I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is that he has been set up to fail, at least going into year two. He was set up to fail. His best offensive lineman from last season is no longer on the team, so the line stinks. Best receiver from last season, no longer on the team, so his targets stink. Nobody can block. Nobody can get open. And that's a bad combination for a quarterback.
Yeah.
He was pressured 18 times last night. And he's now been pressured on 46% of his dropbacks this season, which is, you ready for this? The highest rate of pressure a quarterback has faced in the first six games of a season since ESPN began tracking pressures in 2009.
Yeah.
But 13 years of data, and nobody is having to, oh my God, they're coming for me again.
Yeah, I was going to
deal with that as often as Justin Fields through six games.
I was going to say, what about David Carr? But I think that was before 2009. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Poor guy. Just another stinker of a Thursday night football game. You know, we've had five Amazon Prime Thursday night games so far. Started with a good one, but the past 3 weeks have been awful. Week four, you had Bengals-Dolphins, and that's was completely overwhelmed by Tua Tagovailoa getting concussed, fingers locking up, carted off the field. Like, whatever else happened in that game was totally overwhelmed by the Tua Tagovailoa story. That's not great for the NFL. And then last week, week five, that's when you had Colts 12, Broncos 9. Both offenses stink. Russell Wilson stinks. Matt Ryan stinks. And then you follow that up with last night, Commanders 12, Bears 7. Both offenses stink once again. Like, this is a big-time stage for the NFL. You know, they have three primetime windows a week. Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. Sunday night is obviously the priority. Like, you're always trying to get big matchups there.
Mm-hmm.
Monday night feels a little less, and then Thursday night feels like it's off by itself, which I'm confident they know what they're doing, but there has to be an argument somewhere in favor of, we have three primetime windows a week. They are all standalone games. You know, like on Sunday at noon, not everybody's watching the same game.
Right.
And Sunday at 3, not everybody's watching the same game. But Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, everybody is watching the same game, and it feels like more often than not, and certainly lately, without exception, we are getting bad game after bad game after bad game. There's got to be an argument in favor of doing something slightly different with the way you schedule these games. Because in fairness, when you go Colts-Broncos, like, the Broncos were supposed to be good.
That's right.
They look like they're not, but they were supposed to be.
And the Colts were projected to win, you know, the AFC South. So that one made sense when the season started.
But Commanders-Bears was never supposed to be a good game.
Yeah, I don't know what you're thinking there. Like, if you're,
I mean, it's big TV markets. I got that.
Sure, but
big brands.
If you're Amazon, you got to be like, come on, guys. Like, we'll take one of these teams. Let's get a bit more of a marquee name in it for at least one of these teams.
Like, when Amazon sends me something I don't want, I can send it back. It only feels fair that if the NFL sends you Commanders-Bears, if you're Amazon, you say, you know what, send a return label with that.
Yes.
We're going to send you that one right back. We don't want to deal with that. Do you have a theory on how they could fix Thursday night football? Because here's what I believe. I don't think, if you really dug into the numbers, and I did a little bit this afternoon, if you really dig into it, I don't think it's as bad as the perception is of it. I bet if you look at Thursday night football games, in terms of how competitive they are, all of the ways you would analyze, is this good or not?
Yeah.
It wouldn't look a lot different than your Monday night football games. But for some reason, this label has been attached to Thursday night, and the past 3 weeks have really reinforced it. So I don't think it's as bad as people think, but I do think it's not as good as it could be, perhaps should be. Do you have a fix?
I mean, I just think that you had unfortunate luck with a week ago with Colts Broncos, like you said. But yeah, I mean, it's like this game last night, we all knew that it was going to be bad before it happened, and it was bad. So you just, I think if you're the NFL and that's your new partner, like you got to at least get, you know, a team with a big name quarterback on it. You know, like if last night was Commanders Bucks or Bears Chiefs, like it's a huge game just because, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady attached to it.
Is there a way to every Thursday night ensure you've got one of the 12 best quarterbacks in the NFL in it? Something like that.
I would think so. Yeah. Or like, you know, a huge brand like the Cowboys or the Steelers or, you know.
Maybe that's the fix. The other thing that people argue, and certainly football players argue this, they would know better than I, it's their bodies. Say it's just not reasonable to play football on Sunday and then come back and play it again on Thursday. And a lot of times that's what these franchises are asked to do. Go beat yourself up on Sunday and then come back 4 days later and play another football game. You don't get the same type of prep. You don't get the same type of recovery. You don't get the same type of game planning. And it leads to an inferior product. So the question becomes, okay, is there a way around that? And if there were an easy way around it, guess what? We'd already be there.
Yeah.
Thursday Night Football has been around for a long time. If there was an easy way around that, we'd already be there. But one suggestion I read today from somebody that seemed reasonable to me is that, you know, the NFL season is currently 18 weeks. It's 18 weeks long. Everybody plays 17 games. And you get one bye in there. Like, I think the Titans bye is maybe week six or something.
It's this weekend.
Yeah, right. Could you make the season 19 weeks long? You still play 17 games, but you have a 19-week calendar. It means you get two byes. And every Thursday night football game will be between two teams that had a bye the previous Sunday.
I like that.
I mean, I like it. I don't have to logistically try to figure it out and figure out, okay, now do we have to start early or do we end later? And what does that do to the Super Bowl and all of that? Like, I don't have to figure out all that. So for me, it's an easy thing to, you know, trot out there. But it does seem like they need to do something. Whether it's that or not, I don't know. But they need to do something because, again, I think if you did the research on it, you'd find out Thursday Night Football is not as bad as its reputation. But it's certainly been even worse than its reputation the past couple of weeks. And broadly speaking, people will watch it. But mostly people are hate watching it or laughing about it. It's certainly not getting the response the NFL or Amazon would want on social media because, again, at least the past 2 weeks, the games have been really, really dreadful. Talk to Jeff Calkins about it a little after 5 o'clock. When we come back, Dan Walken joins me from USA Today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Run. Here come the menaces to sobriety, like what? Super Thug is thumping on a cut.
Got a final at Yankee Stadium. Cleveland 4, Yankees 2 in 10 innings. So that series is now tied 1-1. Heading back to Cleveland. Braves Phillies scoreless in the third. We'll talk baseball in the next segment. Jeff Cockett will be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now he's a national columnist, USA Today. Dan Walken making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show, Big Interview, on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
So Thursday Night Football was a stinker again last night. I don't mean to catch you off guard, but do you have any ideas about how they could improve that product? Because it seems at this point to be a product that not only is bad, but is like so bad it is consistently getting mocked on social media.
The bottom line is, football is not a game that is meant to be played with 3 days rest, really. And that's what you are catching a lot of these teams in when they play Thursday night, is just a very quick turnaround. And football is one of those sports, like I think in basketball, you could play a game without a lot of mental preparation, and it still can be a really good, entertaining game. Now, obviously, strategy matters and what you call offensively and defensively matters, but generally speaking, most basketball games, or you know, a sport like baseball, you can play it every day, right? Basketball, you don't necessarily need a lot of time between games to get ready. Football, there's the physical part, and obviously it's difficult physically to recover in a short amount of time with a quick turnaround, and when you're not on your normal Sunday to Sunday schedule. But also just mentally, like you don't have enough time to really get ready the way that you would for a Sunday game, and that is inevitably going to make it a more difficult, less appealing product to watch.
Talking to Dan Walken from USA Today. Elsewhere in sports, Draymond Green, since you and I last talked, has publicly spoken for the first time about the incident with Jordan Poole. And said he was wrong, said he has apologized, but stopped short of saying he and Jordan Poole are going to be cool because, as he put it, that's not really up to me. How do you think this thing plays out in Golden State?
Well, I think Jordan Poole is going to kind of try to put it in the background because he has a lot at stake this year. He's going to get paid, and the Warriors are going to pay him. But if you're him, I think you just sort of want to leave all of the drama to the side and focus on playing well and focus on just not even dealing with anything Draymond Green, because you have, you know, life-changing money coming at the end of this year. I think for Draymond, I don't know if at this point in his life and his career he's capable of just sort of putting everything to the side like that. I mean, he talked about, you know, we're both professionals. I mean, we've seen Draymond Green in the NBA for a long time, and he's got a lot of good qualities. Professionalism is not what I'd put at the top of the list on things that Draymond Green does well. I mean, he loses his mind a lot, and he does it in games. He is, you know, a loose cannon with the media. He is – very entertaining. He's been an unbelievable player, but professionalism, that's not his strong suit. And so I think it is going to be a running subplot to this season for the Warriors. I think they are going to have moments where when they're not playing well, this comes back up again, and everybody's speculating about whether this is the problem. It's, you know, when they talk about Steve Kerr, you know, the biggest crisis that they've dealt with since they've had this run, I tend to take him at face value. And if that's the case, they've got a big job on their hands.
It feels like this is the type of thing where if Bill Belichick were running the Warriors, when Draymond Green's contract is getting – he's under contract this year for $25 million. He's got a player option next year for $27 million, and then he would be an unrestricted free agent. It feels like if this were Bill Belichick, he would either trade him or refuse to sign him and just totally disregard everything he's done for the franchise because we're not concerned with that. We're looking forward, and we don't think this guy's going to be anything close to worth the type of contract he is asking for. How do you think Golden State actually handles that? Do you think Draymond Green is playing on the Warriors in the 2024-25 season, let's say?
No, I think the most likely outcome is that he'll play out this year. He's apparently got a player option for his contract. I bet you he declines it and then just signs elsewhere as a free agent on a, you know, 3 or 4 year deal that's essentially his last significant contract. I don't think he really is a good trade candidate right now because, for one thing, you have that contract uncertainty. He's got the power next year about whether he's going to pick up that option or not. The other thing is we all saw him in the playoffs last year, and while he was useful in some ways, it was a bit of a scary sight, I think, when you look at how he's going to age. You know, it just didn't look very good a lot of the time. And, you know, obviously defensively, he's still got the mental part of the game, and he understands positioning and where to be. He's great at that. But let's just face it, like, offensively, you're playing 4-on-5 when he's on the floor. And the Warriors are uniquely positioned to make up for that because of the personnel they have, but there's not many teams who are. So I just don't know that there's a great fit in terms of trading him that would get the Warriors closer to a championship this year and satisfy the needs of the team that's trading for him.
Talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Earlier this week, you were at ACC Basketball Media Day, and from that wrote, about the comments from the ACC commissioner concerning the NCAA tournament, whether it's Greg Sankey or any other conference commissioner, it sounds like there's some real interest in expanding the NCAA tournament from 68 to a larger number. And I think you are in agreement with most media members that's not good for the regular season. It's not good for the postseason. It's not good for the sport. But we're not the ones who are going to financially benefit from this. And unfortunately, the men and women who are going to make this decision someday, they're going to make it and be motivated largely by money, right?
I think so. And look, I don't know that it's really going to impact the regular season. I think college basketball at this point is a sport whose viewership and the interest in it is kind of stable. It's got a very loyal niche audience. And I don't want to necessarily say that because people might take that in a negative way. I don't necessarily think it's a negative. It's just you're competing against, you know, the NFL for part of the season, with college football for part of the season. You're competing with the NBA. It just kind of falls a little bit in the background until March. So I don't know that it would hurt the regular season that much, but I do think that the tournament has been really, I think the tradition of it sort of, you start on that Thursday, and it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then it's, you know, the Final Four, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. There's just a good rhythm to it. It doesn't sort of oversaturate people or throw too much at them. You know, a huge part of the interest in the tournament is the bracket itself. And, you know, when it's that 64-team bracket, it's nice and symmetrical and beautiful, and it's not too complicated. everyone can sort of understand it. You know, I sort of think, like, if you extend it another week, that creates other problems. If you try to do, you know, okay, we're going to play 16 games on Tuesday and 16 on Wednesday, is that sort of too much? Is you know, can people really sort of devote that much time to it? So I think there's a bit of a problem there. And then obviously, if you expand it to 96 or 128, you're just really rewarding a bunch of mediocre to bad teams from power conferences. That's what it would turn into. And I just don't really think we need that.
Talking to Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Tomorrow, massive game inside Neyland Stadium. Alabama, Tennessee, CBS, 2:30. The Vols are obviously underdogs, but there are some people who believe they can upset Alabama, particularly with the status of Bryce Young being unclear. Are you a believer in the Vols tomorrow?
I want to see how they perform under this kind of pressure. And it's going to be really interesting because, yes, they have played well. I think you can make a case that they have played better than Alabama to a certain extent this season, and their offense is outstanding. I think their defense has probably been a little bit underrated. They've improved a lot there this year. But a lot of the time, or really all the time, I think, since Josh Heupel's been there, it's kind of been a bit of a free roll for Tennessee. There's not been a lot expected of them. They've been able to just kind of go let it fly in some of these games. And they play with tremendous confidence and aggressiveness, believing that they belong. But when you get in a game against Alabama, I think it does change a little bit. And now there's a lot expected of them. Yes, Alabama is a betting favorite, but Tennessee's kind of the it team right now. They're kind of the hot team. And people expect them to, at home, play a game that's capable of competing with or beating Alabama. We haven't really had that expectation of Tennessee, and that can change the way you play when you sort of feel that different kind of pressure, not just players but coaches as well. So I think this is going to be a great time to just kind of look at it and say, all right, now you have to step up to this level of competition, and can you do it? And we're going to find out. Now, you know, take everything I just said and throw it out the window. If Bryce Young can't play and isn't healthy, that changes everything. But if he does play, and I think that's the expectation, that he's good to go, then, yeah, I think this is a moment for Tennessee where we're going to find out a whole lot. And you know, I'm that's part of what makes this job interesting is you just don't really know what you're going to see.
Wrapping up with Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, Auburn is 3-3, headed to Oxford tomorrow for a game with number 9 Ole Miss. Obviously, Auburn underdogs on the road. Who's coaching Auburn next season?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about different folks. I could certainly see them doing, or at least, you know, trying to figure out if the Deion Sanders thing makes sense. I think that would give them a very unique angle in how they're positioned among all these other SEC teams and where their recruiting is going to go. I think that's certainly an interesting option. I think Hugh Freeze makes a lot of sense. I think that's a very Auburn type of hire, Auburn type of fit. He's obviously done it in the SEC and has built a very good program at Liberty. I think he sort of served his time in the penalty box. And I don't really think the SEC would be wise or smart to put their thumb on the scale anymore the way Greg Sankey did for a few years there to keep him out of the league. I think it's time to let that go. But, yeah, part of it is just we don't know who the athletic director is going to be either. So that's going to be key in that conversation. And I think that's the first step. We saw Georgia Tech make the AD hire today, and I think Auburn, you know, hopefully will be pretty soon because you need that person in place before you decide who you want to coach your football team.
That is Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Make sure you read him, usatoday.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Dan Wolkin. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, Gary. See you.
Bye-bye. Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Now's the perfect time to download FanDuel. It's America's number one sports book. Just join today. Get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code Gary. FanDuel is where I play because it's easy to use, simple to rest, just simple to find the bet you're looking for. They got same-game parlays, and when you win, there are fast withdrawals. It's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code Gary. Go make every moment more this season with FanDuel. It's the official sportsbook partner of the NFL, Odyssey, and 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you got a gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Ja Morant had highlights last night in the Grizzlies' final preseason game. We'll talk Grizz next. Listen, Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the okay, Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM
you
ESPN.
You don't want to make me stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my... Send me in person, I look like a ghost. Send me in person, I look like a ghost. Bow. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Bow. You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Goat body.
All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you.
The Barbecue All-Star Superstore is in South Haven. If you haven't been there yet, you got to get down there. 12,000 square feet of grills, smokers, sauces, seasonings, anything you can think of for your backyard barbecue and grilling needs. They got Big Green Eggs, Primo Grills, Grill Islands, Drum Smokers, just a huge selection of anything and everything. It's located at 875 Goodman Road. It's in the South Haven Commons Complex. You can reach them by phone. 662-510-5690, 662-510-5690. And right now, check this out. If you buy select grills or smokers, you'll get a Grilleye Max meat thermometer for free. That's a $100 item, at least. But you can get it for zero additional dollars if you buy select grills or smokers right now at the Barbecue All-Star Superstore. 875 Goodman Road. That's the address. Learn more online. TheBBQAllStars.com. TheBBQAllStars.com. Jeff Cock is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. I got a Dateline preview coming up, but right now, four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Grizzlies 126, Pistons 111. Last night, Little Caesars Arena. So the Grizz finished the preseason 3-2, and now we're ready for the season opener Wednesday night. Knicks inside FedEx Forum. You glad the preseason is behind us?
I am glad. I'm glad it's behind us. Man, I want a Little Caesars pizza now.
I can get you one.
I mean, that's just like, why? Like, if you're a company like Little Caesars, like a big food brand like that, why wouldn't you want your name on an arena? Like, I hear, we talked about Little Caesars Arena yesterday, and like, all I've wanted now is a Little Caesars pizza.
People crap on Little Caesars.
Little Caesars is great. It's not great, it's but not it's great. Great for what it is.
It's great for what it is.
Yep.
It's hot and ready.
It's clutch.
It's hot and ready. You just run in there, and you say, give me one of those. And
they That's say, it.
And they just hand it to you.
Less than 5 minutes, easy.
And it costs and it costs almost nothing.
No, it's just great.
It serves its purpose.
Yes, it does.
Like the community, there's a purpose for Little Caesars. Are they going to win a pizza award? Probably not. Are they going to go to the pizza festival and win best pizza? Probably not.
Doubt it.
But will they get you where you need to get in a tough spot? It's hot and ready.
Mm-hmm.
I got no problem with Little Caesars.
Yeah. That being said, yes, I'm glad that the preseason is over and done with.
Ja Morant, pretty terrific last night. 12 of 21 from the field, 31 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. Dunking on folks out in transition. Nobody can
My
run
goodness.
With him. He is something else, isn't he?
That was nasty.
He's something else, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. I'm excited. I think he's going to put on some shows this season.
That's what he gets paid to do.
That's right.
For what it's worth, Colin Ward-Henniger at CBSSports.com. You know, Zach Lowe does his League Pass team rankings, right?
Yep.
And he had the top three, Brooklyn, Golden State, and Memphis. Colin Ward-Henniger earlier today had his NBA player League Pass rankings. And he did it in teams, like first-team All-American, second-team All-American, third-team All-American.
Yeah.
His must-see players via NBA League Pass, like, hey, these guys are playing, they're worth your time. The first team, 5 players. Steph Curry, no argument there.
Nope.
Trae Young?
Sure, I get it.
Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yep.
Nikola Jokic?
Okay.
And Ja Morant. That's the first team.
I got no arguments there, I don't think. Maybe Jokic.
King?
I'm not sure.
No King?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'd probably replace Jokic.
No, like, no KD?
Yeah, I would replace Jokic with one of those guys. Because, like, I mean, come on. Like, you're not – he's a great basketball player. But, I mean, are you, like, tuning in to see Nikola Jokic?
I'd rather see my King.
I would rather see the King. Yeah, I would too.
He's not just the King. He's your King. He's our King.
Yes, he's our King.
He's the King of America.
Yeah,
LeBron James.
Yeah, he's the one I would leave off. Jokic.
Do people love watching Giannis play? Everybody acknowledges Giannis is awesome. Do people love watching him play?
I think so because he can like take over a game physically. Yeah, I think so.
Trae Young's fun.
Trae Young gets hot. Yeah, and
Steph Curry's fun and Ja Morant's fun.
Yeah,
Steph and Trae are kind of fun for the same reasons because they get to pull from anywhere.
Right.
And Ja's fun because like you know he'll jump over somebody.
Right.
So I like three of those guys. I think Ja Morant and Steph Curry are inarguable. Trae Young, I'd lean toward, he belongs, more than I'd lean toward he doesn't belong. Those other two spots, I might be more interested in Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I might be more interested in, like, Luka.
LaMelo Ball.
He's hurt.
Well, I know, but he's not going to be hurt forever.
Right.
Not paralyzed, Bennett.
Right. Fair.
Wouldn't that be awful if LaMelo Ball was paralyzed?
Yes, that would be terrible.
Can you believe Superman got paralyzed?
Christopher Reeve?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, isn't that wild? I mean, you go
Where is this coming from?
Well, I would just start. I wondered if LaMelo, how awful it would be if LaMelo Ball would be paralyzed.
Yeah.
And then when I think of paralysis, I immediately go to Christopher Reeve.
Okay.
What do you mean, where does that
just
come from?
Caught me off guard.
It comes from the exact same place everything else we talk about on the show comes from.
I had to think for a second. I was like, who are they talking about?
It's just like one day you're literally playing Superman, and the next day you can't move from your shoulders down.
That's right. Yeah. Rest in peace. Yeah.
That's a rough turn of events, Bennett. That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
I hope that never happens to LaMelo Ball.
I do too.
Grizzlies Knicks next Wednesday. We'll get the regular season started.
Story number 2.
Oh, there's a final in Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Guardians 4, Yankees 2. Series is tied 1-1.
They started booing Aaron Judge.
My man.
Uh-oh.
This dude hit 62 homers, is about to win MVP, and he got booed in Yankee Stadium today. He was terrible. 0 of 3 in game 1, 0 of 5 today. He's 0 of 8 in the postseason so far.
Okay, I think we both are in agreement that the Yankees are about to give him one of the most lucrative contracts of all time.
Somebody's about to give him a big contract, yes. I don't know if it'll be of all time because he's already 30 years old.
Okay, but...
Like, I don't know that he can get 10 years, but can he get 6 or 7 at around $40 million a year? I think he can maybe do that.
But if they lose this series and he doesn't record a hit...
If your opinion of what you are willing to pay Aaron Judge is dictated by what happens in a best of five series, you're an idiot.
Okay.
Anybody can go through a little tough
bad
two
stretch.
Or three
okay.
game, four game stretch. Like, literally nobody is immune to that. I remember that was the knock on Barry Bonds at one point in his career. It was like, well, what has he done in the postseason? It's like, I don't know, but Barry Bonds is awesome. I know that.
Yeah.
And Aaron Judge is awesome. He's just having a very bad first two games in this series. This is one of the things I struggle with New York fans. Like, they will boo Aaron Judge in an MVP season. And I don't mean just Yankees fans. Like, Mets fans. The Mets, like, signed Francisco Lindor to a $300 million contract. And they're booing him within the first month of the season. Like, Lindor last season, which was his first season with the Mets, he was like, that's the first time I've ever been booed by home fans in my entire life. I understand I'm getting paid a lot of money. And so, like, you know, I get it. I need to be better. But is it weird? Yes, it's weird. Did I notice it? Of course I noticed it. I wouldn't do that. I would not boo. If I were a Yankees fan and I watch Aaron Judge strike out five times today, I would not boo him.
No, that's out of bounds. Come on.
Like, imagine if Ja Morant had two bad games in a row and he got booed at the end of the second one. That's wild.
Yes.
Like, that. Think about it in those terms. Like, if Ja Morant struggled against the Knicks, and then what is game two for the Grizzlies?
Is it the Rockets?
Yes, it is the Rockets.
Yeah.
So let's say had a bad game against the Knicks, had a bad game against the Rockets. Next Friday night, in the middle of the game against the Rockets, it's like, and now checking back into the game, Ja Morant. Everybody's like, boo! That would be weird.
Well, yeah, it's in Houston, so they might boo there.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
That would be weird.
It would be weird. Yes.
But it's not weird. This dude got a standing ovation the last time he was in Yankee Stadium before the playoffs for setting a record that had stood forever.
Uh-huh.
And now they're just booing him on a Friday afternoon?
Yeah. Not a great look. Not a great look.
Meantime, look at what the Phillies are doing to the
Braves. Watching. Did you see Hoskins when he hit that home run? It is one of the most disrespectful celebrations. This dude slams his bat down.
I love home run celebration. You can do anything, and I'm fine with it. There is nothing that is out of bounds celebrating a home run. Far as I'm concerned.
No, I like it. That was a good celebration right there. I'm looking at the video right now.
I want to find the...
I've never seen someone slam their bat that hard.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. Oh, it's great. He spiked the bat like it's a football.
Yeah, they're going crazy. Man, wow. 4-0.
6-0!
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's 6-0. Series is tied 1-1. The Braves could wake up tomorrow and be on the verge of elimination. Spencer Strider, he got rocked. He's been great.
Can you imagine if the Braves and the Mets are eliminated?
Well,
after the regular season both of those teams had?
They both won 101 games.
Yeah.
And the NLCS could end up being the third place team from the NL East. That's what it's looking like right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're headed right now. The most likely scenario in this moment is that the third-place team from the NL East will be in the NLCS against either the Dodgers or Padres with the the Braves were technically NL East champs because of the tiebreaker, but with the two best teams in the NL East that won 101 games. Like, to put this in perspective, Philadelphia won 87. The Mets and Braves won 101. They finished 14 games ahead of Philadelphia in the standings. And the Phillies are, if they hold on to this, and they're up 6-0, and they're already in Atlanta's bullpen, obviously. And they've got Aaron Nola going, so that's working in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
If the Phillies win this, you know, they'll be one away from advancing and sitting there and waiting on the Dodgers and Padres. So a big time scene in Philadelphia today. And unless the Braves mount some incredible comeback, Philadelphia will take a 2-1 lead in that best of five series.
Story number three.
LIV Golf is playing in Saudi Arabia for the first time. That is the Saudi Arabian-backed tour. And you might have noticed some big headlines coming out of that connected to Phil Mickelson. Yesterday, before the first round, he said, somebody asked about his interview with Alan Shipnick, where he like trashed Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And they were setting it up where like, hey, you trashed Saudi Arabia in that interview with Alan. You said that Saudi Arabia is some scary MFers, and they'll kill you just for being gay. But now you're here, you've been here, and has your opinion on Saudi Arabia changed from what it was in that interview with Alan Shipnick? And he said, well, first off, I never had an interview with Alan Shipnick. And then everybody I've dealt with LIV Golf has been great, and he just sort of left it there. He would not go so far as to say Saudi Arabia is great. He just said, everybody I'm dealing with LIV Golf, is great, which I trust is probably true. So, but this obviously was a little confusing for some because, like, Phil Mickelson has never said he didn't say what Alan Shipnick reported he said. He has just suggested he didn't realize the conversation was on the record. And so I think it was a game of semantics here that he was playing when he said that. I never interviewed with Alan Shipnick, because I bet what Phil Mickelson's actual explanation would be is an interview is something you set up and you agree that we're talking on the record and then you have a conversation. You ask a question, I answer it. That's what an interview is. I called this guy. He answered his phone. We started talking. I did not realize we were on the record. And I struggle with this one. I know like 99% of journalists, people who work in our field, have just completely sided with Alan Shipnick here. Like, hey, well, you got to know. You call a reporter, you're on the record. And I guess that's technically true. It's why Phil Mickelson's not going to sue Alan Shipnick. But I think that was a little... I would not have done it that way.
I agree with what you're saying. He should have made it crystal clear.
Yes, that's what I have always done.
Yeah,
and what I would have done there. My phone calls, my phone rings, and it's Phil Mickelson. And I'm writing a book on Phil Mickelson. I've been trying to interview him for a year. He's turned me down three different times, but now he's calling me. Hey, Phil, it's Alan. Hey, what's up? We talking, right? At some point when I hear this guy's ready to talk to me, I say, hey, Phil, I just want to make sure we're on the record. You're cool with this being on the record. I feel like you've got to say that, even if legally you don't have to say that.
Right.
Legally, it's just you knew you were calling a reporter. Everything you say is on the record. And I guess that's what they would teach you in journalism school as well. I'm just telling you, I would have said, Phil, you know we're on the record, or is it okay if we're on the record? Or, Phil, I don't want to have this conversation unless it's on the record. There's a million different ways to clarify that for everybody, because there's no scenario Phil Mickelson would have said. This is why I believe Phil Mickelson believed he was not on the record. He wouldn't have said those things.
I agree.
He wouldn't have said them.
No.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball
your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.